And we'll take your calls with the Ghostly Talk folks this hour. Take your stories as well. There's also two more EVPs I want you to hear. So get ready for those right here on Coast to Coast AM. And I'm here in the OnStar studios in Detroit with Scott, Doug, and Will from the GhostlyTalk.com group, where they have their own Sunday radio show right on the internet at 6 o'clock. It's going to start soon, right?
Yeah, in September.
Okay. Why are you waiting so long? Get it going now. Because it's almost September, isn't it?
Yeah, just about.
Why is there such a great interest in the unusual, the paranormal?
For some people out there, actually for a lot more people nowadays, people are really starting to think a lot more, I think. People are wanting more out of their lives than just get up, go to work, come home, watch TV, crash out. They want more to do with themselves. They want to think. They want to expand themselves. That's why we know, we see it with our radio show and our investigations, that there are people out there that are getting more spiritual with their lives. And they're thinking more about the future as opposed to what they have to do tomorrow. So people more or less are getting into these topics. They're thinking about conspiracy theory or ghosts, for example, or even one of my interests, the pyramids of Egypt, wondering what happened so long ago about these with these
sure.
great monuments.
What do your friends and family say about what you three do? Oh, my God, he went to college and he doesn't use it.
Well, actually, Mom Al calls into the show sometimes.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, my mom loves to call in and say hi.
Scott L's mom, yeah. Mom Al, yeah.
So does she enjoy this?
She really does. And, you know, it's the first year of doing this show. I know my parents, for example, they were like, you know, okay, what are you doing now? What are you up to? Because right. My whole life I've been getting into wild, weird stuff and just trying new things. And it was a real, real endearing experience when my parents came to our 1 year anniversary party we had the first year we were done broadcasting. My father watched us do our thing and broadcast out, and then at the end of the show he looked at me and said, "You got a pretty cool thing going on
That's
here,
great.
Scott." It really kind of was like, "Oh man, well."
Are you getting some notoriety from local media here in Detroit?
Yeah, there's lots of groups here. There's lots of paranormal groups here. We found lots of great people. Working in the same stuff that we're working on. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, with what we do, we're kind of broadcasting these things, and we welcome, if there's any other groups out there, people that wonder this stuff, feel free to email any of us here. Our emails are on the homepage of our website. If you have any evidence you want us to check out, pictures or audio, there are lots of groups that are getting into this sort of thing. And there is a lot of media, too, as far as the Metro Detroit area. Doug, did you have something to say?
Well, I don't think we're getting a lot of media attention.
Mm-hmm.
We're
yet
not well, not yet. but it wasn't started for that. It was started as actually a couple of ghost hunters mm-hmm. talking about their hobby.
Of course, after this program, you don't need any more media
attention. Right. I suspect our web fellow is
ripping his hair out right now.
Yep. Right now.
Nothing thrills me more, guys, than to crush every guest's shoulder.
You have a reputation for that.
It's a little sickness. We have two more EVP sounds, then we'll go to the phones. This one is child crying. Another one of those that will probably chill me. Tell me about this.
Well, this one is actually mine.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that the forms of media that we try to capture, this, even though it's an EVP and it's in audio format, it was actually taken on a video camera that I no longer have. But it's so interesting because I was trying to get images, but I got audio. So it's a little bit of a you know, derailment there. But I did get this. We actually, one of our friends had heard a child crying down this one hallway this, by the way, is an abandoned insane asylum.
Oh, great.
That we were crawling around through one night. Yes, in the dark with flashlights only. And we were in there looking for the morgue area. They had told us that there's a morgue area and to try and look for it. So we went in, we were looking for it all night. And one of the fellows said, I heard a child crying down this hallway. So we, and you can hear it, it's in the clip. He's trying to describe this.
So I'm only going to play this one once.
Right. Okay. He's trying to describe this.
Whereabouts in the clip does it come up? This one's 48 seconds long.
The original cut of this that we had before we cut it down, I believe it's about 33 to 35 seconds into the clip.
Into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So listen about that time and you'll hear.
You will hear it.
You will hear
it. Okay, here we go, Dan. Mm-hmm.
So the child crying. Did you? Sometimes I'm in the hall. Well, let's check it. Let's go down there.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Well, when we came out headed this way, we were near the shop in our operation when the sound walls there. There. I heard a small child with a baby. Is the shop in right now?
No.
There it is. Okay. There it is.
And
pretty distinct.
It was distinct. And that one we heard with our ears as well. As you heard, the one fellow had heard it. None of us had heard it the first time, even though we are paying attention for that kind of thing. And he had heard it. Turns out that, by the way, that was the corridor where the morgue in that institution was.
That's chilling to me. Just thinking about that, a morgue, an insane asylum, a little kid.
Well, we didn't expect to find to get evidence of a child.
I'm not going to get any sleep tonight.
Actually, that's not, that little girl or little child was actually heard two more times, but it wasn't recorded in that morgue area.
This is really priceless.
The child, they say, also was an inmate of this particular asylum when it was open. And what happened was she was a mute. That's what we were told by our resident medium in our group.
That is incredible.
And what happened was she caught a couple of, what are the doctor people that walk around? I forget their name now. The people
orderlies.
That employ orderlies. Caught a couple of orderlies doing something they shouldn't have been doing. We don't know what that was. She was a mute, like I said. And in order to make sure she would not say anything, we were told that these orderlies would lock her in the morgue trays just to see if she'd start screaming. They wanted to see how far they could push her to see if she'd talk or not. Sick people, we agree. And
that was given us to by our friend Kelly. Yeah. Sometimes we employ, well, we don't employ them, we don't pay them, but we bring mediums, psychic mediums out with us to help find more information about something that we think a place where something is going on.
Have you found good psychics that you've been working with?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Kelly just is amazing, for example, our friend Kelly. But there are many others that are really, really in tune with what they do. And I think that once they know what they're doing and what their gift is and what they're supposed to do here on Earth, they can use their gift to give more information if that's what we need. And I think that's what happened. I think Kelly gave us more information. Probably too much, because it's sort of a very
creepy,
tragic story.
Yeah, it's very tragic. We'll go to our last EVP in just a moment, but let's go to some calls if we can. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, this is Fred. I have a question for the guests. I was wondering, do they get more on digital or actual magnetic tape?
We've, as far as the study, the work we've been doing over the last 4 or 5 years, I know myself, I tend to lean more towards digital. That's where I get the majority of my evidence or data from. We do employ a couple of analog recorders also.
One thing I can add to this is that at the Michigan Transit Museum, the little boy saying "help me" was actually recorded on both the digital and the analog at the same time.
Yeah, we had two recordings of that, and it actually picked up on both of them.
Okay, have you ever used a digital camera in video mode and captured any type of visual images?
Very good question. I've never seen any evidence presented to me, and I've never captured any evidence myself.
My camera actually does have that feature. However, it is way too grainy. It doesn't come out very well. The lighting is horrible on it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being on the program. That was a pretty good question.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's technically inclined, obviously. How much do you have to know about technology in order to do what you do?
We were just past weekend.
Where's the on switch at?
Yeah. We were just this past weekend to a picnic, a paranormal picnic out on the west side of the state.
What is a paranormal picnic?
It was actually put on by our friends, a group called GLPR, and they put on this picnic. And we didn't know what to expect. This was the first
one. They don't bring any food because it has disappeared.
And there was a group there, Grimstone, had put together this presentation about EVP and about spirit photography, mm-hmm. the history, the different types. They put together this amazing presentation with video slides, and we learned a lot. Yeah. So you're never done learning about the technological side.
There's always new things coming out.
And it happens so fast.
Technology going as fast as it's going nowadays, at the exponential rate, there's always something new to learn.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing there, George?
We are doing well. Thanks.
All right. Great. I'm Jay from Florida, and I just wanted to tell you, George, you got an outstanding show indeed.
Thanks. Hey, by the way, you fighting off Katrina down there?
No, it only touched a little bit of where I'm in Central Florida, and I only got like a little bit of the outside.
So it's coming back.
Yeah, that's what they say. We'll see, though. After last year, I don't think they can give us anything we can't take. So.
Yeah, good point. Go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to tell you, hey, Scott, Doug, and Willis, and Jay from Florida. You remember me, Florida Ghost Hunter?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to tell you guys, you know, George always talks about coincidence, and I'm like listening to the show tonight. He says these three people are coming on the show. And they run this ghost talk radio, and I just knew it was going to be you guys, man. I just wanted to tell you guys, congratulations. That's so awesome, and good for you guys. And to the listeners, they have an awesome show, and they keep it so real, and they really do make you think like Scott always says. And that's all I wanted to say, guys. Congratulations, and keep up the great work.
Man, you just blew us all away, dude.
Yes, that I never expected.
Thank you so much. That really makes it all worth it for us.
That does.
It makes it all worth it.
That makes it worth it.
Well, you know, it's nice to be recognized by your peers. You know, and here he is doing similar things down in Florida. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, it happens here and there, and it really blows us away to hear wonderful things like that.
Let's go to our last EVP. This has to do with a reformatory. Who's going to tell me a little bit about this one?
Well, this one was kind of funny, because this was our second visit to Mansfield Reformatory, the Ohio State Reformatory. Yeah. And for some reason, I'm always lost for some reason, but going in this place, I could find my way around there pretty well. So
past it was life, perhaps,
possibly. I don't want to spend my past life there, but maybe it was just Doug and myself. And we were walking through and we were trying to find solitary confinement again. And we got into this little bit of a discussion. He's like, no, you're going the wrong way. And I'm going the right way. Just follow me. And where the clip starts off, you'll hear Doug go, oh, yeah, because I'm like, there it is right there. And he was like, you're correct. And you're going to hear this voice. It's kind of comes in passing, and we've never been able to really find out what the voice is saying, but it sounds very ominous to us, and it sticks out like a sore thumb, and we know for a fact that there was no one around at the time. The building was empty.
Okay. We didn't hear anything.
We didn't hear anything with our ears.
All right, point out when it comes up, then we'll play it again twice, because it's not that long. Here we go, Dan. Hey, there it is. It's almost something breathy.
Yeah, very breathy. And people have said, and the first thing we thought was cheers. We're like, well, what's he cheering to?
Okay. Kind of like he's saying, let's hear it again. Go ahead, Dan. Yep, there he is.
What's really scary about that one and the one up the second one we played, The Cemetery, is when Scott L. and I are just standing around talking, for example, with The Cemetery one, or just wandering around looking for, we were looking for solitary confinement there, and someone else is there. We don't know it because we don't hear it. But then later you play this audio recording, and with the one, The Cemetery, he had joined in the conversation. Me too. He wants $100 in quarters.
Yeah.
With this one, someone was trying to get our attention. We didn't hear it. It's kind of puts you on edge.
Can you imagine what would happen to society if we realized that these beings are with us all the time? And when we think we're in our very private moments of our lives, they're everywhere. That's kind of weird. It's kind of spooky.
But it's the same going the other way as well, is all I can think. So we're always there for them, too. So
let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast here on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Laura from Fresno, California.
Hello, and Laura. Go ahead.
I was going to say they are with us all the time. My daughter, she has some friends in South Bend, Indiana. About a year ago, just different weird things happened, some murders of friends and all, and went into demonic spirits on the computer through the IM. I mean, we talked to all kinds of weird, and he called himself Satan himself. Really weird stuff. One night, this kid went to get another little kid that one of these spirits had taken. I mean, people had seen them in, you know, in demonic form, and then they would disappear before their eyes. And he was driving to get him, and this other spirit was telling us, don't let him come here, we'll kill him. And then all of a sudden, this other whatever starts typing and says, don't let him come this way, he's going to die. And my daughter's going, well, what is this? And he's going, this is a friend, this is so-and-so. Well, this was one of the kids, basically, that had been murdered 6 months earlier. And he was giving like orders for us to give to this other person who was on the way to keep him out of trouble. And I mean, it was exactly the scene before he even got there.
Was he trying to help him, or do you think there was some evil involved?
No, he was helping. This was a good one. There was evil ones that were trying to, it was like a pact of kids, but, and I think the evil was trying to take them all out. It got like 4 out of 6 of them.
I wonder who normally wins in your experience with good and bad.
We're very, very Christian. I mean, I've never, ever thought of anything like this. I mean, my whole belief system has definitely changed. I do know there is evil, very real out there. So far, good has won. I mean, we have had to pray spirits down. I mean, they go into your animals if they want after you. We've just seen so many bizarre things this year.
Okay, thanks, Laura. Do you guys find evil much when you go out and do your research?
Savage House. That was probably the only place that we've ever been to where I felt, myself and I know the rest of us here, felt this stressful, ominous presence around
just
us.
Just looming over.
Kind of, yeah.
It's there.
But
it's
generally, there. There's a lot, I mean, I really think there's a lot of good in doing this, and there's a lot of good to be found also, and there's
maybe,
a lot of people trying to help
helping them. Yeah.
Exactly.
We'll be back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls with our three guests from ghostlytalk.com. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take final phone calls with our guests from Ghostly Talk when we come right back. I'm live, of course, in Detroit at the OnStar Studios. Had a great opportunity to see my parents, and I'm going to do so for the rest of the weekend as well. So it's great to be able to go into a great facility here at OnStar and not have to worry about anything. It's all taken care of. Wonderful people here, by the way. And then next hour, we're going to have pure open lines, just you and me. So get ready for that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our three ghostly guests, and we'll take the rest of your phone calls this hour. Lots of people have been calling from Iowa, Utah, Minnesota, Texas, Kentucky, California. Some people have been on hold for almost the entire hour. So with time quickly ticking by, let's go back to the calls, okay? We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. You are on the air. Where are you calling from? Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, where are you?
Me?
You're not going to be any. I'll give you one more shot. Where are you, ghostly man? Goodbye. Let's go to this wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Utah.
All right, go ahead.
My name is Brian. This is a story I'm going to tell you guys. In the paper a few months ago, it just had a picture of a police officer walking on train tracks, and on the bottom it said that the person that, you know, on the train tracks, the guy that runs the trains, and his assistant, they seen a guy walking across the train tracks, and they thought they hit a guy, and so they called the cops, and then they're searching for the body and couldn't find it. What was going on about it is that a long, long time ago, that was taken out because it was a train crossing road, and there's been a lot of wrecks, and there's a huge wreck that happened, so they took it out.
They took what out?
The railroad crossing.
Now, what do you think this little thing with the spirit was? What was going on there?
I have no clue. I read it in the paper, and I believe that it was a ghost walking across.
Was that the recent?
It was like a month ago, at least. They said they hit him.
Have you guys heard railroad crossing stories of the ones where cars go uphill, and then all of a sudden you see little fingerprints?
San Antonio, Texas.
You got it. And there's one in Belleville,
mm-hmm,
near St. Louis, which I'm going to next week.
Are you
going to
try it?
Yes. I was supposed to do it on my last trip.
Oh, man.
And then they couldn't make it on the time I was available. But this time I'm going to be there for a couple weeks. I'm going. I have to try this out.
Oh, that's exactly the kind of thing that we try out a lot.
We're always trying. We're testing. We like to test urban legends sometimes.
But what's interesting about the train tracks, that usually I thought that story was going to go a different way. I thought it was going to go with the ghost light story.
Because
one of my favorite things is ghost lights.
Tell me about that.
What do you mean
by ghost lights?
You're in a place, it's dark, and you see a lantern swinging back and forth in the distance.
Okay.
And it's coming at you. Usually they say the train conductor had lost his head or something, and he's looking for it, or the farmer's daughter had, you know, he's looking for his daughter if you're in a field. When we went out with Sean Burris and IGT to Spooklight Hill in Indiana, mm-hmm, we saw this light. It is unexplainable, absolutely unexplainable. And I thought that with the train connection, he was going to go, that it was going to be the, yeah, the ghost light, but it ended up being a very similar story, except for the train thought, the train conductor thought he hit somebody. When I was driving through the cemetery with Scott L., I thought I was going to hit this guy.
Did the person ever look at you, this entity?
He was looking right at us.
You could see his eyes?
Yes, yes.
Did he have a look of horror on his face or anything like that?
He looked like he was just standing there with no...
He didn't seem concerned that he was going to get hit by a car.
He did not seem concerned, no.
Have you checked the bottom of your car? East of the Rockies. Where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast.
Hey, George. This is Chuck from Lexington, Kentucky, WLAC.
Hey, Chuck. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. I started to use my OnStar system in my car to call you, but I opted for the cell phone instead. I work on a horse farm here in Lexington, and I work the night shift. And after hearing Art talk about this, you know, back in the day, me and my buddy got really interested in it. And we bought a digital, you know, recorder. And there's this horse farm is so big that there's actually a cemetery on the farm. And so we went out one night, and night I had off, and we were goofing around out in the cemetery, being respectful, but, you know, just kind of talking between ourselves, and spent a couple hours out there. And then we went back, to the house and started listening, and we didn't hear anything for a little while. And then we heard a little bit of like static. It sounded like static. And then this voice came over, and it was so clear, and it was like, it's the whiskey talking, blah, blah, bong. It's the whiskey talking. And I was like, what? And it blew our mind. It scared me so bad. I've never messed with it again, but my friend still goose around with it. And he takes the audio and he holds on to it. And I let him on the farm every once in a while. And he'll, I'll let him in the cemetery and he'll go out there and goof around. He takes all the audio and puts it on his website, mfsfn.com. But it was unbelievable that night, and it scared me so bad I would never do it again. But he was like, Baba Bong, it's the whiskey talking.
Not even on Halloween? You wouldn't go back?
I would never go back. But I think what you guys do is incredible, and I think you're a braver man than I am. But mfsfn.com, that's where the audio is.
Okay, great. Thanks. I appreciate you being on the program, Chuck. There are a number of people who love to go to cemeteries to do this. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend to people? I mean, first of all, how do they get on these cemeteries? Aren't they private? Aren't they gated?
A lot of them are. A lot of them are very easy to gain access to. If you just go to the city or go to the police department of the city, the cemetery.
You tell them.
And explain to them what you're going to do, and they'll give you a clearance or a piece of paper that you can, if a police officer does come there, you can show it to them, and they'll let you know.
Does the paper say?
These guys can ghost hunt here.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is you're a deterrent at that point. If they know somebody's in the cemetery after dark, doing some work, you've got stuff, you look important, and you've got all these things, you're in the cemetery after dark. You could chase away anybody who may be running through the cemetery for nefarious purposes.
Yeah.
So you're actually helping in that strange way.
Because that's the number one rule of doing this sort of thing and going in cemeteries is you show respect. That is the number one rule, is you always show respect. And it's a very sick thing.
Which is why I'm glad Chuck had said that they were showing respect.
Yeah, it's a very sick thing to see somebody kicking over tombstones.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to be in a cemetery and not show respect.
Exactly.
Because right. You have no idea what's going to happen.
Exactly.
What about Ouija board stories? You guys ever come across those?
Doug? That's one of my favorite topics, actually.
I don't like Ouija boards.
I know you don't, yes.
And how come you...
Well, look what we brought for you, Joe.
Brought in a little clown. Now, you know I don't like clowns. He's here with a little Stagnon Kitty.
The Ouija board, there's the opposite side as well that's almost never covered. Everybody covers the bad side of Ouija boards. And yes, as a tool...
There are no good sides.
Yes, there are.
Wait, what?
Patience worth.
The backside?
No. Yeah. Patience Worth. Patience Worth was an author who wrote through the Ouija board, and the lady who operated the Ouija board, I used to know her name, Pearl? I'll have to think about it. But
you forgot her name, that's because she probably doesn't exist anymore.
No. Well, no, not now. But Patience Worth, if you do a search on Patience Worth, you'll come up with an amazing story. Same thing with the first person I studied. Jane Roberts.
She was in the Ouija boards?
Seth came through to her and her husband in, was it Hamilton, Ontario?
Was it a Ouija board?
Initially.
I just had bad experiences with them, and I think it's...
A lot of people.
I think they're portals. Now, somebody told me once, calling this program, that it's all the state of mind you're in. If you're thinking of these evil things, evil people, evil entities will come through. If you're not... Good things will happen, but I haven't found that to be the case.
I don't think maybe six or so girls at a sleepover are thinking of, very negative, bad thoughts. I think they're in a party atmosphere at a sleepover, and they're going to play with the Ouija board. And it gets a little dangerous there because you're not protected spiritually. You're not grounded. You're more in a party atmosphere.
They may not understand what they're doing either.
Yeah. I think they're using a tool as a game. It's marketed as a game. And so people are going to use it as a game. And I think it's more of a tool, something to
help.
What
should parents do if they know their kids are playing around with Ouija boards?
What your parents do?
Yeah. Throw it away? Burn it?
Educate them.
Educate them.
They're probably the ones who bought it.
Possibly, but educate them.
Also, buy them a book on spiritual protection.
You can't teach your child how to ride a bike unless you show them how to operate it.
Spiritual protection?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think you need to be firmly grounded in your belief system. You have to know who you are before you start going out and investigating other people who don't currently have a body. So
let's go to our first time caller line. Hello there. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hello. Punch it up, Daniel. Oh, that's why. All right. We'll try that one. Wild card line. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I'm calling from West Texas. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been listening to the show for a long time, and I live in an old house, and I feel like we've been having some kind of experiences over the past 7 years, but I don't feel particularly threatened by it, but it's just kind of eerie, and I think it started the first week I was in the house. I was alone in the house one morning. My children were at school. My wife was at work. I woke up about 10 in the morning, and there was a lot of thumping in the room above me. It sounded like actually furniture was being moved or something was thumping. It was my son's room. So I went upstairs, and I went in the room. There was absolutely nothing out of place. Everything was normal. I checked all the other three bedrooms. I checked the bathroom. There was a cat in my daughter's room that was on the bed and perfectly still and warm, hadn't been moving, it didn't look like. So it kind of freaked me out, but I didn't really think of it. But over the years, my mother's experienced noises on the stairs when she stayed. A housekeeper's heard noises. And the really scary part, I guess, was my son, who's now 10. About 3 years ago, we spent the summer away on the East Coast. We came back, and I was sitting in the living room one day just petting my dog, who was lying on my lap and reading a book. And my son came over, and he was about, 6 years old at the time. And he said, "Daddy, I have a new friend." And I said, "Oh, wow. Well, is he a new boy at your school?" And he goes to a private school with like six kids in his class, so I know all the kids in his school. And he said,
"Yeah."
"No, he doesn't go to school." And I said, "Well, where did you meet him?" And he said, "Well, do you remember when we were staying on the East Coast and you took me out on the lake in the boat?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I met him that day." And I said, "Really? Well, what's his name?" And he said, "Victor." And I said, "Well, I don't remember meeting Victor. What does he look like?" And he said, "Oh, he's about this height, and he has brown hair and brown eyes, and he has a dog." And I said, "Oh, really?" And I said, "Well, did he live in the neighborhood?" And he said, "No, he lived in the lake." And I said, "He lived in the lake?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Does his dog live in the lake, too?" And I laughed, and he said, "No." And he said, "He has a sister." And I said, "Well, does his sister live in the lake?" And he said, "No, she still lives with his mommy and daddy." And I said, "Well," and I picked my book back up because I thought he was just kind of joshing me. And I said, "Well, poor Victor, he must be very wet and lonely living in a lake by himself." And Winston said, "Well, he doesn't live there anymore. He lives in my room. Do you want to meet him?" And I said, "Sure." So he goes upstairs and he comes back downstairs and he said, "Here he is," you know, and he just gestured at nothing. And my dog lifted his head up out of my lap and started growling. And he never growls or he's never aggressive towards my son or anyone else. And about 2 weeks after that, my son quit sleeping in his room. He said he came downstairs crying, and he said he heard noises. He said he heard breathing, and he would not sleep in his room. And he had not slept in his room for about 3 years. This is the first year I got him to go back and sleep in his room, and he's 10 years old now. And the thing that really kind of just the cherry on the top of everything was I placed foreign exchange students, and I've had foreign exchange students in the house who've actually seen things and heard noises and stuff too. But one of the families that I placed a student with came by to fill out some paperwork, and it was a young woman and her older husband, and the husband was in his mid-40s. He came in and he said, "Dude, I used to live in your house." And he had a funny expression on his face, and I said, "Really? Well," and the very first thing he said to me, George, was, he said, "Do you have any ghost stories?" And I said, "About the house?" And he said, "Yeah, it used to be a fraternity house. We used to use it as our frat house. We leased it years ago, and about 25 years ago, and everyone who lived in this house had ghost stories."
They experienced the same thing, didn't they?
Well, I said, "Like what?" And he said, "You know, sometimes I'd be alone in the house. There were five or six guys living in the house, and I said, what bedroom did you live in?" He lived in my bedroom. He said, "I would hear somebody on the stairs, and there'd be nobody in the house." And it just sent chills down my spine because I hear that. I said, "Oh, that happens to me all the time." But then, George, the scariest thing he said was, he said, "I never saw anything scary. I mean, nothing. I mean, about the spookiest thing that ever happened was one summer an extra guy stayed in the house. We didn't have enough bedrooms. So he put some folding doors up on the TV room downstairs." I said, "Oh, yeah, my library. I call it the library." He said, "Yeah, well, he put these folding doors up, and in the middle of the night, he woke up screaming because he said he could hear some. I'm sorry. He said he could feel someone breathing on him." Well, of course, there's no way that this guy could have known that my son, 2.5, 3 years ago, quit sleeping in his bedroom because he complained that someone was breathing in
his room. It's got to be the same. It's the same entity.
It's very, and I don't think it's related to the Victor story that my son said. I mean, but because this has happened long before we went on that East Coast summer trip.
And I assume Victor drowned, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I picked up on. But I've also found out that there was a death on the lawn some years ago. Somebody hit a tree and died. And I also found out that a family many years ago had a 15-year-old daughter who died in accidental shooting, not here in the house, but you know, I guess they were living here at the time.
Let's find out from the guys why this is always around something tragic.
Sure.
You never hear friendly ghosts pop up, be they died a nice death, if one could die a nice death. But, I mean, why is it always tragic?
Because the ones that have died a nice death, they've moved on. That's the theory. That's the idea. The ones that you're seeing in your house, for example, or on the grounds of your house, these very well may be people who were solid, fleshy figures like the four figures sitting in this room right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when they die, they don't understand that they've died. They're so attached to living that they're confused about where they're at now.
They weren't prepared for death.
Yeah.
I always find that it has to do with emotion.
Mm.
And, tragedy, for example. Also, you hear a lot of romance, like we were talking about in the first half hour. There's a romantic side. The two lovers or something are embracing on the staircase, and then they tumble down, you know, and they do that over and over and over again. Well, that's a kind of haunting.
Well, but emotion is a big thing, though. I mean, that really has a lot to do with a lot, whether it be anger or love or any of these really strong emotions. They seem to leave a psychic imprint on the area that they may have occurred at. And that's where you start to see these occurrences.
Yeah. So I find emotion.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Has a lot to do with it. Emotion and tragedy. It's a recurring theme. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of tragedy.
Hmm.
Your 2 hours are up already.
Aww.
Did that go by fast?
It flew.
It really did. Well, hey, you got an opportunity to talk to 5 to 10 million people right now. What do you want to tell them in the minute I have left here?
Get out there and think. Get out there and use your mind. Try these things. That's what ghostly talk is all about. It isn't just about ghosts, or it isn't just about aliens. It's about thinking about these things and trying to understand them. Even if you don't get the answers, it's still good for you to think about these ideas.
How about you, Doug?
Definitely. Go out there and do something productive. And I'm not a fan of sitting in front of the TV anymore.
No.
Now that I've got these hobbies. I found a hobby that I really like. Well, two hobbies, broadcasting and ghost hunting. And I'm meeting more people. I'm having an absolute blast. And I'm learning constantly. Also, thank you. Thank you for listening to George Nori, right? Thank you for listening to us, those few who do. And thank you, everybody, because that's the kind of thing I want to see people doing, getting out there and learning. And I do want to thank you as well.
Yeah, George.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Hey, this was a treat for me, the fact that three Detroiters are doing something similar. Will, real quick.
Keep an open mind. Question everything. You know,
absolutely.
Deny ignorance. Get out there, learn about your surroundings, learn about other people and other cultures, because it's here.
Okay, I'll have open lines when I come right back. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Watch them disappear in front of my eyes.
Poof, poof.
I'll be back.